done. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, stay standing. Stay standing for a moment. Remain standing. Hebrews chapter 11. I thought I heard. Did you say fix my britches? What did you say? What? Oh, okay. Well, with everybody else yelling, rip the lips off that chicken, sound like fix my britches. I'm glad you said the first one. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be just a moment and we'll look at this passage of scripture here. When I say just a moment, I don't mean the entirety of the sermon. I mean, I'm going to say something, then we'll look at the scripture here. First of all, I love Hiles Anderson College. This is just a good place with some great people. And the faculty and staff here, many of whom I've watched for many years and count them my dear friends in the ministry. Some of them, I've grown up with them. Some of them, I've grown up with their kids. And what great people, what excellent people. And I'm always honored to be here. Always enjoy the enthusiasm of Hiles Anderson College Chapel. I hope you recognize that God's plan for your life is the best life you can live. You will not improve on that. You will follow that plan or you will mess it up. And by the fact that you are here, I believe you are stating by that action of being here at Bible College that you just want to follow God's plan for your life. And I appreciate that. From a man that's a little older than most of you, can I tell you that at my age, that's been a good decision. God's plan for my life, I wouldn't change that plan with anybody else's. And your plan is different than my plan, but God's plan for you is the best plan for your life. And I hope you recognize that, and I enjoy being in a room full of people that believe that way. Lastly, many of you I know, and so it's very good to see you. Many of you I've been able to teach in the past or coach in the past, and it's good to see you. I love you, pray for you. If you and I don't know one another, it's not my intention to waste your time. We're going to look at the Word of God, and I believe that God's Word is profitable if we will allow it to be. So regardless of me or the preacher, we will stick to the Word of God this morning and look at God's outline here, and I think that can benefit all of us. So it's good to see you. Good to be in Hiles Anderson College Chapel. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start reading in verse number 24. The Bible says there, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the blessing of Hiles Anderson College. Lord, we live now and we're able to enjoy buildings that we didn't build. Lord, other good people have done that and sacrificed so that we can enjoy what we enjoy today. Lord, I think of the children of Israel that moved into the promised land and enjoyed a land they didn't labor to build, and then they walked away from you. Lord, I pray in the goodness that you give us that would push us closer to you. I pray we'd recognize the good things we enjoy and recognize that they come from you. Lord, I pray that appreciation would push us closer to you and not make us lazy and careless, as it's prone to do in the lives of many Christians. As we look at the life of this great man, Moses, I pray that his example would challenge us. I pray it would instruct us, and that we would allow your word to affect how we think and what we do. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 25, starts with that phrase, choosing rather. We're going to talk about Moses, and really we're going to stick to what's taught here in Hebrews chapter 11. You know the story of Moses, and we won't look back at it, and I'm relying on the fact that you know most of that story, and so I apologize if you don't. But most of you know who Moses is, and we're going to start by looking at this choice. You understand that where you end up someday, what is referred to sometimes as your destiny, your destination, you understand that that is not a matter of chance. We will end up where we end up because of our choices. You understand that? Moses ended up in Hebrews 11, and he didn't end up there by a matter of chance. He ended up there by a matter of choice. And again, I don't expect you to trust my opinion, or that's not my opinion, because verse 25 says, choosing rather. It talks about his choice. That's why he is there. You will end up where you end up, not by a matter of chance, but by a matter of choice. Years ago, it was the first day of summer. I had taught at Hammond Baptist Schools, of course, all year. And now the school year is over. And that Monday, I began working on a house in Hammond. At least that was the plan. So I got up that Monday morning, first day of summer, got my work clothes on, which was different than the clothes that I would normally wear to school, got my tools in the back of my truck. I got in my truck. We lived in Lake Station at the time. I got on 8094 going east. No, that would be going west. Okay, towards Hammond, where that house was. Got an 8094 going west. Now, at that point, my brain kind of went neutral, because when I normally would get on 8094 going west in the morning, I'm going to the school. So I accidentally got off on I-65 going south. Well, you know what? If you're on I-65 going south, if you know anything about the roads, if you don't, just trust me, you're not going to get to Hammond going I-65 south. Is that okay with you? About Ridge Road, as I'm passing Ridge Road, I realize, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be going to Hammond, and I'm on I-65 going south. So you know what the next exit is 61st, if you're familiar with the area. And I got off on 61st Avenue, went to Speedway there because I needed gas anyways, went inside, got me a cup of coffee and a breakfast sandwich, filled up my gas tank, and now I get on I-65 going north, right? Because I need to go to Hammond. Normally, though, during the school year, when I'm on I-65 going north and I get to 8094, I get off on 8094 going east because my house is in Lake Station. So guess what I did that morning? Trying to get to Hammond. I went on I-65 north, got off on 8094 going east, and about the time I'm approaching Central Avenue, I realized, what am I doing? I'm trying to get to Hammond, which would be 8094 west, and I'm going 8094 east. Now, hey, everybody watch me here. I have my work clothes on. I have my tools in the back of the truck. I was ready for work. But I can't get to Hammond on 8094 east, okay? No matter how sincere I was with my desire to get to a certain destination, my choices were taking me the wrong way. The next exit is Central Avenue. Central Avenue, that's where my house is. That's where I live. So then I realized, well, there's something that I forgot. So I pull in the driveway of my house. I had been gone for an hour. Now, after getting gas and eating the breakfast sandwich and taking all the wrong turns, I ended up now back where I started an hour later. You know why? Was that just by chance? My choices, over and over and over again. It didn't take me where I wanted to go. It took me where my choices led me. Moses' choices took him to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's notice what his choices were. First choice, it says there in verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Okay, you see that verse there, okay? First choice, Moses chose the people of God over the pleasures of sin. People of God over the pleasures of sin. Hey, watch me. We all have people of God in our lives that have helped us along in the right direction, right? To bring you to this destination this morning. Can you think of one? I have the mic, so I'm the one that will talk of one, but can you think of one in your life where you think of this person, maybe it's a lady, maybe it's a man, but in your life, they are part of the people of God in your life where when it came time to choose those pleasures of sin, you said, nah, I can't do that. And that person's face would come to your mind. I would have to mention my father. There are 100 people I could mention. My dad, godly, patient, was saved as a middle-aged man. I was a little baby. My 4 older brothers and sisters were older than me because they're my older brothers and sisters. But anyways, 5 kids. A man knocked on my parents' door, and that man said, you know for sure, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. And my dad looked back at that man and said, sir, I don't think you could know that. Just an honest man, worked at Inland Steel his entire adult life. He said, sir, I don't think you could know that. Luckily, that man was wise enough to turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that says, these things have I written unto you that you may know. My dad, being an honest man, confronted with that verse in the Bible, said, okay, I stand corrected. I guess I can know that. Invited the man in his house. That man showed my dad, my mom, my 4 older brothers and sisters how they could know for sure when they die, they would go to heaven. I remember being in the basement. I was about 7 years of age, and my oldest brother had gotten this thing for Christmas, and I'll call it an exerciser. The reason I'm doing this is because it had 2 handles, and it had these 3 springs. And can you picture, and you're supposed to do this and all these different exercises. It came with a book, you know, that's supposed to strengthen every muscle in the human body. You know, one of those infomercial type things. But now it was in the basement, probably because it didn't work, but it was in the basement. And as a 7-8-year-old boy, I had slipped my foot in one of the handles, and I had grabbed the other handle, and I was pulling up on it with all my might. I don't know if that was one of the exercises in the book, but that's what I was doing, okay? And at that moment, my dad looked over my shoulder. I didn't even know he was in the basement. But my dad standing behind me, looking over my shoulder, pulling up on that handle with the springs. How many of you think you know where this might be going? Okay, hey, and if you were telling this story, maybe I would believe it, maybe I wouldn't, but this is honestly what happened. At that moment, that handle slipped off my foot, flew up, and it hit my dad right in the bridge of his nose. Right in the nose. And again, you can ask my dad. He would remember this. I remember my dad going like this and looking at that blood now that was just started to trickle from the bridge of his nose because it split the top of his nose. And then he looked at me like I was the lowest form of life on the planet. He didn't say a word. He just looked at me. You know, and again, a lot was said in that look, but not with words. And my life flashing in front of my eyes, my 7-year-old life. And I remember my dad, he just turned and walked upstairs, you know. And I'm still holding my breath, you know, from that moment, you know. But you know what? That story tells you a lot about my father. Very patient, loved me, kind to everybody, loved his pastor, loved the Word of God, and loves his pastor, and loves the Word of God. When I was a young person, you know what? He was part of the people of God to me. He was a reason why I would choose, you know what? I need to do what's right. I can't let my dad down. Joe Woosley is my dad's name. Hey, what's your name? Not your name, but what's the name in your head? I say, Joe Woosley, that's part of the people of God to me. You have a name? You have a name? I said mine. I'm going to count to 3. You say yours. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Joe Woosley. Hey, did you say that name? You picture their face? You picture their face? How about we thank God for the people of God? You know, I see Mrs. Petropoulos sitting back there, and she teaches you how to teach. I sat in her class, and I sat as a 7th grader, as an 8th grader, and then I sat in her class as a college student. And you know what? Mrs. Petropoulos, she's part of the people of God to me. Ms. Petropoulos, I don't know if you remember, but there was about a semester in junior high where we decided to try out detentions. And it lasted only a short amount of time because as students, there was always a decision to make, because sometimes detention, it was during lunch period, and sometimes detention was better than lunch, depending on who was in detention, you know? And then depending on whose room detention was in. And let me tell you, if it was Mrs. Petropoulos' room, you didn't want to be in detention, okay? But as fate would have it, one day I ended up in detention with my friends. That's the good news. Bad news? It was in Mrs. Petropoulos' room, okay? So detention wasn't very fun that day. And I don't know if I whispered to one of my friends. In my life, there's only a couple of people that call me Jim. Most people call me James, but she would call me Jim. And I don't know if I whispered to my friend or what I did, but she said, "Don't test me, Jim." That was the statement. And you know what? I didn't speak the rest of the time because I was not going to test her. Hey, a Christian school teacher, part of the people of God to me, that lady, when I was a dumb seventh grade boy, and don't look at me like that. You were dumb when you were in seventh grade too. A dumb seventh grade boy. Hey, investing in my life, part of the people of God, Belinda Petropoulos. Hey, you think of another name? The people of God in your life. You think of another name? My dad, a Christian school teacher. I'll give you another chance. I said my name, you say yours. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Belinda Petropoulos. Hey, think of that face. Think of that person that's invested in you. Part of the people of God. I have a limited amount of time, but you know we could do this the rest of the morning. You understand that, don't you? Can you allow the people of God in your life to motivate you to make good decisions? Motivated Moses, didn't it? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasure of sin. Allow that to motivate you. Look at the second one. Second one we find in the next verse, verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses esteemed Christ better than the treasures in Egypt. Okay, now look back this direction and let's understand something. That word esteeming, that is estimating, right? That is calculating. That is considering and thinking, right? He looked at his two choices. The choices being Christ and treasures in Egypt. Right? Consider that choice for a moment. And while you're doing that, let's just be plain. If I said I would rather work at Hammond Baptist Schools than have $1 million, somebody thought that was funny over there, okay? You might look at that like, Brother Woosley, that's a ridiculous choice. You know what? I think I could honestly say that. However, you don't know if I could honestly say that, do you? Somebody over here laughed at that, okay? Hey, I could say that, but you don't know that to be true. Do you know where I'm going with this? Moses, he had the treasures in Egypt. Moses walked away from the palace. Moses actually did choose Christ over the treasures in Egypt, right? Maybe I would choose God's plan for my life over $1 million. Maybe I would, but I know that Moses chose Christ over the treasures in Egypt. Do you understand that? And he did not do that by chance. He estimated, calculated, considered his two options. And he said he esteemed Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. So hey, don't miss this. Maybe in Moses' heart, he felt that, you know what? This is what's right to do. I'm just going to do what's right. Maybe there was a part of him that felt that way, but that's not what that verse says. That verse talks about it as being a business decision. That he got out his calculator, and he factored Christ, and he factored in treasures in Egypt, and Moses, arguably the greatest leader that ever lived, he esteemed Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. He actually believed my life is going to be better choosing Christ than if I had those treasures in Egypt. How about you? Hey, I don't have an opportunity to walk away from $1 million and follow God's plan for my life. I'm not walking away from a palace or treasures, and probably you're not either. But each of us should calculate, should consider, should estimate what we are going to do with our life, right? And the decisions that we are making. Hey, because what goes on up here, certainly you understand that affects your decisions, right? Well, how about you? May I ask you, do you esteem, estimate, do you calculate that a life with Christ, that what Jesus has for you, do you actually understand, do you believe that logically, that that is better than the treasures that the world has to offer? Okay? Hey, I believe that that first decision, the first thing we talked about with Moses, that choosing, I believe part of that was emotional. Just like when I talked about the people of God in my life, maybe some tears welled up in my eyes and I felt that desire to make them proud, like maybe you did when you said their name. This second one, not emotional. The second one is business. The second one is logical. Hey, consider God's plan for your life. Do you understand logically, as Moses did, that it is better? That those riches you'll find, I don't think we're talking money now, but the riches you'll find, they're greater than those treasures in Egypt. Do you understand that? I think of estimating and choices. Let me list you six names. See if you recognize these names. Spurgeon Winn, Mark Bolger, T. Martin, Chris Redman. Any of these names ringing a bell yet? Giovanni Carmazzi. Maybe the last one will. Chad Pennington. If you recognize any of those names, probably you don't. Maybe you may recognize Chad Pennington. You understand there were 199 players chosen before Tom Brady, which is a name that you probably recognize, in the 2000 NFL draft. 199. And you understand that those teams, those NFL teams, they were working diligently and looking at all the scouting reports, trying to make the right decision, and they chose poorly. Now, I don't care if you're a Tom Brady fan or not. I mean, I'm not a big Patriots fan or Buccaneers fan, so that's not the point. The point is, do you know that smart people can get it wrong? You understand that? Hey, Moses recognized by faith that this decision, Christ, is better than the treasures in Egypt. Hey, we talked about your destiny being a matter of choice, right? Before we move on, point number three, and we'll be done, let's just review. Moses' first choice, he chose the people of God over those pleasures of sin. Hey, how does that affect you? How does that motivate you? How does the example of Moses, what does God want to do with that in your life today? Okay? Number two, he estimated, logically calculated, that Christ is better than the treasures in Egypt. We won't turn there. If you want to turn there later, Matthew 19:29, I enjoy that verse, as probably any Christian educator enjoys that verse. If you're getting in the ministry, do you understand you're not getting in it for the riches, for the money? Hey, and by the way, I didn't mean that to be funny, but you can laugh at that. I don't care. You know, I'm not offended by that. You know, that's fine. Because in my life, I've experienced the greater riches. So that's not funny to me. Again, I'm not upset if you were to laugh when I say Christian education, don't get in it for the money, because there really isn't much money in it. Hey, you know what though? There's great riches in serving God. Okay, do you understand that? And I started down that path because of Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, where if you want to look there later, it tells you that Christ will repay, it says, 100-fold. 100-fold. That is 10,000% interest. If you multiply something times 100, that is 10,000% interest. Do you understand that? And if you want to talk logically for just a moment, the last 10 years, the number one stock in the last 10 years from 2010 to 2020 is Netflix. And Netflix would have returned on your investment about 45 times, about 4,500%. hey, that's a pretty good investment, right? 4,500% interest on your investment if you would have invested in that 10 years ago. Jesus more than doubles that. Netflix, the best producing stock in the last 10 years, 4,500% interest. Jesus, 10,000% interest. I don't care what's going on, what the stock is. Jesus is better. Moses estimated, calculated that, and he made his decision. Hey, watch me. Some of us, not because we're evil or sinful, but some of us, because we're careless, we're making foolish decisions, like I did that morning, going south on I-65, trying to get to Hammond. I wasn't being wicked. I was being careless, right? Moses, not careless in his decision here. He esteemed. He estimated, calculated. Hey, have you done that? Are you still doing that? Do your actions bear out that you are doing that? Jesus is better. Lastly, the verse says, let's look at that verse. I'll find it in my Bible, Matthew or Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verse number 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Why did he endure? He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses chose to live as seeing him who is invisible. You know, many of us, I could have said this when I sat in this room. Many of us, we have been brought to this place because of the people of God. And that's okay. Your youth pastor told you to come to Hiles Anderson College, or you were sitting in a service and you surrendered your life to God, and your pastor said, you know what, you ought to try Hiles Anderson College, or you're here because you know it makes your mom and dad proud for you to be here, right? Many of you, people of God, have brought you here. Some of us, we've actually done as Moses did, and we have esteemed, God, what should I do with my life? What is the best use of my life? And you honestly believe, because of that good logic, that Christ is better than the treasures in Egypt. Hey, but if you want to endure, this is not my opinion. We just read it together. If you want to endure for a lifetime, it won't be because of the people of God. It will not be because of your logic. It will be by faith. Okay, hey, do you understand that you cannot see that which is invisible, right? You can't do that. So what does that mean? It says that he lived as seeing him who is invisible, right? Hey, look at me. Those people of God in my life, huge impact in my life. Help me make good decisions. The esteeming and the logic that other good people help me to achieve, to understand that God is better than whatever treasures they have going out there in the world, okay? However, in my life and in yours, if I am going to endure year after year after year, you have to understand there will be times when the people of God aren't around. Hey, there will be times when what God is doing in your life makes no logical sense. There will be times when you must see him who is invisible. Your eyes have to be on that. And if they're not, you will not endure. Hey, let me put it to you this way. Your life and my life, our lives, this Christian life, it requires faith. It requires faith. You understand we're in Hebrews chapter 11, right? That is the chapter, the hall of faith, right? The whole chapter is about faith. And God is telling us here through Moses' life, yeah, he chose the people of God over the pleasures of sin. Good choice. That got him along the right path. And then he made this logical decision that Christ is better than the treasures in Egypt. And you know what? I bet you he's glad he made that decision today. But there were times in his life when he's looking at the Red Sea and he's seeing the cloud of dust from Pharaoh's army, when he had to look up to God and say, God, are you seeing this? Okay. You brought me here, and I think that that is Pharaoh's army coming right over the hill there, okay? There were times in Moses' life as the children of Israel are talking about him and criticizing him, and they're talking about going back to Egypt, and Korah now has this big following. There were private times in Moses' tent on his knees where he's like, God, do you know what's going on in my life here? Do you know what they're saying? There will be times in your life where you will be required to demonstrate faith. Because, hey, you can't see what's invisible, and neither could Moses. But he lived as seeing him who is invisible. That is how you will endure. You know, I think back to, I had my appendix out about 6 weeks ago or so. I don't know how long ago it was. But I was sick, didn't know why. Long story short, ended up in the hospital and, you know, woke up minus my appendix. And they had three, you know, incisions in my stomach. And you know what? I was feeling pretty good that first day. And then all the pain medication wore off and I wasn't feeling well at all. And on a specific day, happened to be a Wednesday, I started getting hiccups. Hey, now you laugh, but that's not funny, okay? I got these three incisions in my stomach, and I got these hiccups going on. And so my wife was there in the morning, and so we're Googling, you know, how to get rid of hiccups. And you would be amazed at the things online to do to get rid of hiccups, some of which I had heard before, some of which are way out in left field. Pull on your tongue, okay? How is that going to get rid of hiccups, okay? But, of course, drinking water, holding your breath, all of these different things. My hiccups went away, and then they came back, okay? And so I'm holding my stomach. I'm talking to the nurses, like, is there anything we could do about these hiccups? Man, I feel horrible, and now I have these hiccups. And then they went away, and then they came back again, you know? So now it's evening. I've had dealt with these hiccups all day long, you know, and when my wife, you know, isn't looking, you know, I'm pulling on my tongue, you know, trying to get rid of anything to get rid of these hiccups. I tried it all, okay? Hey, you know what? My wife left because visiting hours were over, and there I am in my room all by myself, struggling with hiccups. I feel horrible, and that thought came to my mind. God, you're seeing this, right? Right? I mean, you know, I've given you my life, and I don't ask for much. Can you get rid of these hiccups, you know? Hey, I use something like that because that is something that we can laugh about, hiccups after surgery. Hey, how about a bus family on a bus route after you've invested money, you've invested your time, and then you hear that they're criticizing you, they're degrading you to other people in the neighborhood? How do you deal with that criticism? Do you ever look up to God and say, God, are you seeing this? Are you hearing what's going on? You understand, we look at Moses and we applaud Moses because he chose the people of God. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches, and he saw him who was invisible. But then in our own lives, when it becomes personal, hey, that changes things. This is a great man of God and how he made his choices. How should that affect you? How should this affect me this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of owning a Bible, the examples in the Bible. You know, we look at this story of Moses. Moses did not have one word of Scripture. Lord, thank you for giving us a Bible. Thank you that we can run to it and we can use it. Lord, I pray we'd allow it to make a difference in our lives. Now, as you're coming or your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, can I ask you a couple of questions? I just want you to think along with me. First of all, as we thought through those people of God today, do you recognize the motivation that those people of God should be in your life and in my life? Do you recognize that? Allow those good people in your life today and in your past that God has brought along to keep you going the right direction. And it's okay to allow those people to help you make good decisions and help Moses. Think of those people of God. Is that what the sermon needed to do in your life today? Secondly, have you calculated Have you estimated the importance of living your life for God, that Jesus is actually better, that the life Christ has for you is better than whatever this world can offer? Do you need to re-up that decision? Lastly, thirdly, the Christian life requires faith. Either put that in the back of your mind and remember it, because you will need it if you're going to endure. Or maybe there's something that's going on in your life today where you recognize, you know what, Lord, I'm going to have to exercise faith. And I'm going to endure, because I know that even though I can't see you, I know that you are with me. Now, I mentioned those three things. Those are the three points of the sermon. I don't know how that affects you, how it should affect your life, but how many of you would say, you know what, Brother Woosley, by a raise of my hand, there is some work that God is doing in my life through the story of Moses this morning. If that's you, just lift your hand up. Let me see it. Lord, thank you again for your word. I don't know what your word is doing in every life and in every heart, and what the sermon, the message was meant to do in every life and every heart. I believe it's what you wanted to talk about this morning. Lord, I wish that there was a logic, that there was an argument that I could give to sway everyone in this room, to give all of us 100% certainty that following you is always best. But Lord, there is no 100% certainty. There is no logic like that. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. Each of us will be required to exercise faith. Help us as we work to respond to your word properly, to do what we're supposed to do. Yes, for the people of God. Yes, because it makes logical sense. But even when it doesn't, recognizing that sometimes I am just going to have to see. I'm going to have to live as seeing him who is invisible. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for bringing such good people and good influences into our lives. Please help us to be that good person. Please help us to be the people of God in someone else's life. And thank you for those that have been such good influence on ours. Please bless Hiles Anderson College today. Be with our ministry today. Be with Pastor as he leads us. Be with our families today. And Lord, thank you for all the good things you've given us. I pray that we would take it and do the very best we can for you. In Jesus' name.